and you minister to us. And as we seek to worship you and to glorify you, Father, we're the ones who are built up. We're the ones who are edified. Father, thank you for inhabiting the praises of your people. Thank you for revealing yourself through worship. Now we ask that once again you'd reveal yourself also through your word, that you would reveal your heart, you'd reveal, Father, your desires for us, the plan that you have for us, the good and prosperous plans that you have for us, Lord. That we would take those plans, that we would, Father, run our races as to win. And so once again, we're just asking that you would bless your word, that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us, your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, if you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, and we are still in chapter 2. So keep in mind that I was tempted to make this verse into three separate messages, but I think we covered it pretty well on Sunday, the first two parts, but I do want to look at this last part. I want to keep it in context by simply reading through Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and we'll look at the last part of verse 2. Paul says this, "And after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation. And I communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who have reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." So when Tim had filled in a couple weeks ago, he looked at the area of just communicating, went up by revelation. He spoke to them about the revelation, setting the foundation. This is God's direction. And so when Paul comes up, we talked about this on Sunday, that he brought Barnabas, he brought Titus through revelation. He spoke to them about the gospel through revelation. But it says there in verse 2, he did it privately. And of course, we looked at that on Sunday, he decided to do this. When you confront an issue, you don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to yell and scream about it. You can go and you can converse. And that's what he did. He did it with the leadership. And as he conversed with the leadership, they were all in agreement to what the gospel is. And then that leadership, then they went and had another meeting with the entirety of the church. And of course, we looked at that on Sunday. That took place in Acts chapter 15. But the reason that Paul does this through the revelation of God is wanting to really confirm this gospel in which he is proclaiming, because he says this at the end, "Lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." And I think that's a sad, sad testimony if we run a race and it's all been in vain. Now keep in mind that as Paul is talking about this portion in verse 2 here of Galatians, he's not talking about running in vain like he had mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9:27. That's a whole different running in vain. That's being disqualified. Now, what Paul is saying, basically, is he's talking about the joy of the fruit that he's received as both Jews and Gentiles are coming to a saving faith. And what happens is that when he says, "lest I had run in vain," he's saying that they would leave this gospel of grace and they would then go to another gospel. Now, remember, we've already talked about that in depth when we were there in chapter 1. If you would, just read with me verses 6 through 9 of chapter 1. Paul had made this statement, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." He says, which is not another. Remember, we talked about it. It's not the same gospel. It's not just a change to a gospel. It's not just a little divergent from the gospel. He says it's not another of the same. It's a completely different gospel. It literally takes this gospel and it makes it into an abomination. That's why he says, "It's not another," verse 7, "but there are some who want to trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so we dealt with this in depth as far as having another gospel, a different gospel. And so what happens is that here, Paul is saying that as I've shared with you the gospel, and as you have received this gospel, if you leave that gospel, the work that I have done becomes what? Empty. It becomes empty. It becomes in vain. And so Paul uses this same phrase of running in vain, and it brings clarity to really what it is that we're looking for here. If you go a couple of books over and you go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, the key verse is going to be verse 16, but I'm going to read through verses 12 through 18, keep you in context. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to simply read from Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read 16, then I'm going to back up to verse 12, and I'm going to read down through 18. But he says this in verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do you understand? He's using the same context, the running in vain. But what is the context that he says? Well, back up to verse 12 of Philippians 2. You see this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he's talking about the salvation that they have, that they've received through grace, through the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. So now he's talking about here that I want, you know, he's going to encourage those that have begun to run their race, to continue to run their race and to do it faithfully. But as he says this, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So now he's letting them know there's this contrast. That one, I want you to be blameless and harmless children of God. I want you to be children of the light as, keep in mind, you're in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. So you have this crooked and perverse generation and you are this contrast. Now, what he does with this, as far as that contrast, he says this, you shine as lights in the world, verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or have labored in vain. Do you understand what he says is what happens if I'm running in vain? If you don't hold fast to this word of life. Do you understand? If you don't hold fast to the gospel that I proclaimed, if you don't hold fast to Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at that on Sunday, that you have this difference between the gospel and what the gospel is and your testimony. The gospel is simply what Jesus has done. No more, no less. It's all about him. That's the gospel. The testimony is, I've believed in this, I've received it by faith, which was a gift of God, and now it's changing my life. That's the testimony. So when we look to this, I think it's important to say, yeah, this is what we're seeing here. He's saying, I want you to hold fast that word of life, verse 16. And if you hold fast that word of life, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So I'm going to do two things is where I consider that I'm receiving the prize for this race I'm running. There are two prizes that he's receiving. The first is glory to Jesus. And isn't that always what we should run for? The glory of Jesus and him alone. Now, the second thing that comes on top of the glory of Jesus is this, to realize that those who were once in darkness are now in light. That those who were once dead are now alive because of this gospel that you're proclaiming. They've received it and their lives are changing. And isn't that so incredible that when you are able to share the gospel with someone and you you know, are able to be a person to where you see their conversion begins, and then you begin to see them grow in Christ. It's an amazing thing to be that person, to declare the gospel and to have someone receive it. And then you almost are taking on this responsibility as what? A spiritual parent. A spiritual father, a mother in the Lord, that you're just guiding them through the simplicity of the word, trying to warn them about wolves that come in, as Paul does. And so I love the fact that he has two things that really, he says, these are the prizes that I want to just relish in. This is why I run the race. The first is that glory goes to Jesus Christ. And the second is that I see these people growing. Now, what happens is this. When the people no longer grow and they fall away, then what happens to the glory of Christ? Well, the enemy got a hold of them. Do you understand? And this is where that sower sows the word. Some, it's going to fall on just stony ground. The bird, the enemy is going to just snatch it up instantly, and they're not going to be able to receive it. Others, it's going to fall on very shallow ground. They're going to immediately hear it, spring up with joy. Yeah, I want to do this thing, but what happens? Well, sun comes out, withers. There's no root. And others are going to come and they're going to grow up among the thorns, and the thorns are going to choke them out. But there's others that do what? Fall on good soil, and they bear fruit. And as you see that person bearing fruit, guess what? Paul is saying, man, this is such a reward in my race. One is the glory of Jesus Christ and alone, but then to see others bear fruit in their walk. And this is why here Paul says in verse 16 of Philippians 2, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, his glory, your growth, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do you understand? His whole race is to proclaim the gospel to all who would hear, Jew and Gentile alike. And as we learned on Sunday, the gospel saves Jew and Gentile alike. The Spirit comes upon and in those who have believed, both Jew and Gentile alike. And he says, and I want you to hold fast that I won't have run in vain or labored in vain. And then he says this in verse 17, yes, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And I'm glad and rejoice with you all. You understand that as Paul is saying, I'm pouring out my life. I'm running this race, but I'm pouring out my life so that you could grow in your faith. So that you could be established in Jesus Christ, so that you would hold fast to this word of life, that you would shine as lights in the world that is just full of darkness. This is his passion. He said, I have no problem pouring out my life for you. It's a joy for him. Do you understand? That as he pours out that life, as he's running that race, he finds what? I find joy in that. I'm finding a prize in your growing in your faith. And that's why he says there, I'm being poured out as a drink offering, verse 17, on the sacrifice and the service of your faith. And I'm glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. You understand? As you are in Christ, he's glorified. Rejoice with me that he's being glorified, that his gospel is proclaimed and you believed it. And I think it's so important to recognize that what Paul is saying, I don't want to have run this race in vain. I didn't want to see you, you know, immediately come to faith and then fall away. I didn't want you to come into this gospel and then have it perverted by others, and that you so soon leave this gospel that I have proclaimed, and so that you're turning away from it. And that's where that warning in chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ. And it's not the works. It's simply the grace. It's his work and his work alone. And he says, and I'm marveling. And then the word is actually, he's hurt. He's grieving that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace. And I think what happens is, you know, that when we come to this gospel of the grace of Christ, his work, his death, our receiving this, our sins being paid for, we now have this robe of righteousness that Christ supplies. All those things are powerful. And what happens is this, that if you turn away from those things, Paul says, man, that part of my race is now empty. Do you understand? There is no joy now that you've turned away. There is no reward now that you've turned away. And the reward isn't me. The reward is what? Christ being glorified in you, growing in your faith. Now that's empty. And I love what Paul is doing, because when he comes here to chapter 2, he says, I went and I told the leadership there. I told, you know, James, I told Cephas, I told John. I spoke to them privately, and I didn't have to go publicly with this. I just went privately so that when we did go publicly, we were what? We were on the same page. And the whole church began to receive. And so when there were those Judaizers, no, in order to be saved, you must be circumcised. The church could say, no, you don't. Peter himself could stand up and says, listen, I was there among the Gentiles. They were circumcised, but yet God gave them the Holy Spirit. They believed. And so it isn't about the circumcision, it's about the work of Jesus Christ and only that. And I love the fact that here he's trying to say, I don't want you guys to fall away. I don't want this labor of you receiving the gospel now to be empty, that you would you know, turn away from him who called you into the grace of Christ. And I want you to see that Paul, he just so desperately wants to see Jesus being glorified and the fruit from his labors. And there's nothing wrong with seeing the fruit from your labors. I love watching young Christians who've come to faith begin to grow in their faith. There's just this joy in that. And what happens is this, you feed off that joy. You feed off that excitement. You begin to remember, oh, I remember how amazing it is to learn how to worship, to learn how to glorify God, to begin to just realize that when I pray, God answers prayer. And new Christians are zealous in this. They come and say, Pastor Lowell, you would not believe, I prayed for this and God answered. And they're astounded and they're amazed and they're overjoyed. And those are the kind of things that I think we as older believers, we forget how absolutely incredible it is that God answers the prayers. And we rejoice in it, but not like a new believer. He's just fascinated and in awe. I can't believe God just, I prayed and he answered and he just did his thing. And this is amazing. And so I love seeing the fruit. And I love the fact that Jesus Christ is glorified. When a new believer comes, all of heaven rejoices. And the Father now says, because of your work, son, because of your death, this who was lost is now saved. This my son, my daughter, who was dead is now alive. And that's always that heart of the Father. And so we begin to see that here. I want you to understand that running the race of faith, it's important to ensure that our efforts are not in vain, that we want to pray for those people and intercede for those people and to begin to share with those people and let them recognize our life and who we are. And so keep in mind that what we see this in the word run in the Greek, it's a word that is kind of familiar to you. It's called trek-o, trek. So, you know, maybe you've heard someone's going on a trek. Maybe you've heard of Star Trek. You know, it's a journey. It's a run. It's a fast pace is really what it refers to. So if you have a trek bicycle, you're going at a fast pace. That's what they're saying is what it is. So we recognize here that within the Greek, it simply says, you know, this word run. It's treko. Now keep in mind that according to scripture, everyone runs a race. Everyone. Believers and non-believers alike. We're all running a race. And what happens is this, there are some who are running towards Jesus Christ And there's some who are running away from Jesus Christ. But keep in mind, we're all running. There are none who are not running. Two passages, if you're a note taker, jot them down. I want you to be aware of them. In Jude chapter 1, of course, there's only chapter 1, verse 11. I want to read this to you. Paul begins to talk about these non-believers, those who speak evil of what they don't know. But he says this, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah." So we see that there are some who are running, and what they do is this, that they run in error. They run in error for greed. They run in error for rebellion. And those are basically, you know, the two things that God says in a nutshell. You're either pursuing mammon or you're just rebelling against me. And he says there are those, but they run. Keep in mind that Jude says they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily. They aren't just jogging. They aren't just moving. They're running greedily in this way of error. And what happens is, keep in mind, at one point, we were running with them. Do you understand? They weren't running alone. We were all running in that same way. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it speaks of this running with them at one point. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles." In other words, we did what they did. We weren't any different than them. "We walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these," verse 4, "they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." So understand that they're running their race, and now they're like, "Why aren't you running this anymore? Why are you going in another direction? Why aren't you running with us for greed? Why aren't you running with us in rebellion?" And it's interesting that here, keep in mind, as we recognize, we all run. Now, what Paul does is this. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he does something that's just incredible when he talks about running the race. He explains it all. And he explains what this race is. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, Paul makes this declaration. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run?" Everyone's running. Those who run in a race are all running. We're all in a race. In a race that we call life. There are some who's running towards Christ, some who's running away, but we're all in this race. They all run. But what Paul does is this. He says, one receives a prize. Do you understand? You're going to run, but you want to receive a prize. Not the booby prize. You want to receive the prize. And I think it's important to recognize, he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Do you understand that he's talking about don't run in vain? Don't run in a way that you're not going to obtain the prize. He says in verse 25, "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Imperishable crown. So he says, listen, your crown is going to be permanent. Their crowns are temporary. And if they have a little victory here, they have a little victory here, that's fine. Let them have a victory. Let them say, yeah, I've done this and I'm victorious in this. I've gotten money now and I've rebelled against God and he hasn't punished me. Keep in mind, it's a temporary crown, but we get a permanent one. And the permanent one is when we get to heaven. It says, therefore, verse 26 says this, "I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body," verse 27, "and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You understand? Don't run a race and then become disqualified. Don't run a race and step outside the lines. I don't know if you've ever seen like the Olympics, and what they do is they have all of these lanes. You got to stay in your lane. If you step outside your lane, guess what? You're disqualified. You lose. You've got to stay in your lane. You can't step outside of your lane. You can't step on the line. You've got to be in your lane. And you've got to run in such a way that what? That you're not disqualified. And I think it's important that what he does is I bring my body in subjection. And so what we do is this, we bring not only our physical body, we do what? I want the spirit to control my physical body. I want to recognize I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life which I now live in the faith, I live by what? Live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This is where it's so important to realize that Jesus Christ is living his life through me. I'm running the race, and he's being glorified. And I think it's so important that when we look to this, they're all running the race, some towards, some away, and keep in mind that there are some who are running to Christ that eventually will become disqualified. And that's a scary thing, to realize that those who have received the word, that event, there's no root, it gets snatched away, it just burns up when the sun comes out, a little tribulation, and they walk away from Christ. The cares of the world choke it away. Do you realize there's no fruit? But when you have the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. You have fruit. There's fruit that comes when you have faith. There's works that are established. And I think it's so important to see here. He wants us to understand, I don't want you to be disqualified. I don't want you to run in vain. And so seek the Lord. Surrender to the leading of the Spirit and give yourself over to him, that when you share this gospel to others, that they could say, yes, I understand this gospel. And sometimes you're going to share it without speaking words. You're going to share it just with your life, Christ in me. This is the hope of glory. This is where I'm running. This is what I'm doing. And it's so important that when it comes to these areas of just in the gospel, running this race that we are called to do, one of the things that is just a beautiful portrayal when the author of the book of Hebrews declares in chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to read verse 1 and 2, but 1 is the key. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what is that race? Looking unto Jesus. Do you understand? It's focusing on the prize. And I think it's so important that when we're running the race, you have to remove those things that hinder you from running. You have to remove those things that slow me down. You have to remove those things that get in the way. I don't know if you've ever seen runners when they run, because I've never seen a runner carrying his wallet. I've never seen a runner carrying their keys. I've never seen him carrying a TV, never seen him pulling a fishing boat, never seen him, you know, running with golf clubs. You don't see that. You see them, what, with light shoes, stockings that only go to their shoes or none at all, light clothes. And why? Because they don't want anything to cause weight. They want to run fast. And so we look to this and we say, you need to remove the weight. Those things that hold you back from running, the author of Hebrews so perfectly just lays it out. Lay those things aside. Why? Because there's a lot of people cheering for you. And they're yelling, throw away the TV, throw away the golf clubs. Don't run with stuff. Get rid of the stuff. Run the race. And the race is this, looking unto Jesus. His glory alone, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know what I'm saying? It's the gospel. I think it's so important that you run in this way. And so When you're running, though, what you do is this, you focus on the prize. That's exactly what he's doing. You're looking unto Jesus. You're focusing on that prize. And I love there's another portion of scripture that really points out with focusing on the prize. It's found in the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, once again, chapter 3 this time, verses 12 through 14, explains it so wonderfully. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on." Do you understand? I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Do you understand? I'm running this race. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward in this race. And what I'm doing is this, that I am trying to let in me be what Christ saved me for. And I love that. Because we recognize what in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, everyone knows those verses, but they always forget that verse 10 follows Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Because it's by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I want to lay a hold of Christ for what he has laid a hold of me. I want fully everything that he wants. And if he wants it in my life, it's your life. You purchased it. You can have whatever you do. And so I love the fact I'm not perfected yet, but I'm running the race. I'm running to say, Jesus, whatever you want in my life, you do that in my life. I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize. You understand? I'm running for the prize. I don't want to run in vain. I want the prize. And I love the fact he says, when I'm looking for the prize, I'm not looking behind me. I'm not looking behind me. One of the things that our coaches tried to drill into us when we were running is this. When you look behind you at anyone, you're going to lose half a step. They're going to gain. And what happens is this, that you see these people who are just pressing, and they're right in their peripheral, and they turn, and they're just constantly looking to see how close are you. And yet they're right there, and the person who's running is losing half a step and has to gain it, half a step and has to gain it, every time they turn. And he says, listen, I don't look behind me. I don't care who's behind me. I'm running the race to win, and I'm looking for the goal. I'm looking for Jesus Christ, and I like what he says in verse 14. In fact, I love what he says. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm seeking him, I'm running for him, and I'm running to him, and he's my prize. The glory of Jesus Christ is my prize. And I love it. I want to lay a hold, I want to lay aside all the weight and the things that hinder me. I want to run for the prize, and the prize is Jesus Christ. It's this upward call, and I love the heart of it, because when Paul comes to this area of saying, I just want what God has for me, I want the fullness of what he has for me, Paul will come to this understanding. And I love the beautiful thing when we're looking for the prize and who it is. There is this passage, you guys know it, I know you know it, you may not understand the address, but when I start reading, go, oh yeah, I know that address. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, there's this beautiful, beautiful thing where Paul is coming now to the very end of his ministry, and he says this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Now remember, he already said, I'm pouring myself out for you. I'm pouring myself out for you. I'm pouring myself out that you may be full. This was his joy. It was a joy to be poured out. And now he says, I'm already being poured out. The end of my ministry is now at hand. And he says this, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to cross the finish line. This is where I'm at. And then he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've finished my trek-o. I finished this race that he called me to. And as I finish this race, he says this, I have kept the faith. Do you understand? I haven't changed the gospel. I haven't changed my life and believe in this Jesus Christ and him alone that brings me to God. And that has been my race, to proclaim Jesus Christ to any and all who God brings to me. And he says, so amazingly, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. What an incredible thing for us to be able to proclaim, to say, you know what? I can't wait to one day say, you know what? I've done everything that God has called me to do. I have finished my race. And then to be able to add, and I've kept the faith. I didn't run in vain. I've run to obtain a prize. And that prize is going to be this. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified through all the things that I've shared about him. All the glory that went to him, his glory is going to be, this is now yours, Lord. And to see all the people that were there growing in that, he said, I've kept the faith. And finally, verse 8, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. This is not a temporary crown. This is a permanent crown. And he says, there's this permanent crown of righteousness with the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Do you understand that he is running for not a perishable crown, but an eternal crown? And he says, I've run as a victor, and I'm going to receive a crown. I'm going to receive that crown that the runners receive. Now, we don't understand how the runners took place in this day and age. If you remember initially, when it came to the Olympics, that there weren't gold medals. The thing that happened was this, is they would have a laurel wreath, and they would place it upon the head of the victor. And he's the one. You are now the winner. And you get a wreath. That's all you had. But get it in mind, in time, the wreath would wither. And that would be it. But you had your moment in the sun. But what the crown we get is a permanent crown. And I love the fact that that's all that I want. And I want to take that crown and like the elders, just take those crowns and just give it to the Lord. It's yours. It's yours and yours alone. But he says, there's going to be this laid up for me, a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have come into this faith, to all who have run a race that they did not run in vain. And so keep in mind that as he talks about this beautiful race that he has, it's so important that he's saying, I want to run this race in a way that God is going to be glorified. Another passage, just to be aware of, back up just one book. And I want you to understand that when it comes to the race, this is a beautiful thing. I actually found this verse because of the Englishman's Concordance as I was going through just looking at this word. And it makes this statement in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. It's interesting that the word of the Lord may run. That's the word. That's the Greek word. That's treko. The word may run. And I love the heart that he says here, that the word of the Lord may run. I want this word that is proclaimed to bring glory. I want this word to win the race. I want this word to go forward on the journey that it needs to do. And so I just love the fact that here, though the word of the Lord may run, and that Jesus may be glorified as the word of God goes out. That Jesus may be looking to this point, say, yes, this is, as the word goes out, the confidence, what, be diligent in your race. lay things aside that need to be laid aside, look forward to the prize and keep your eye only on that prize, and to note that here, what I want is this, I want God's glory. I don't need to partake of this, I want God's glory. And I want to see others come into this saving faith and stay in that saving faith. Because if they move out of that faith, if they move out to another gospel, if they move to a point where all of a sudden tribulations come and they fall away, if they move to that point where the world chokes them out, guess what? That part of the race has now been in vain. Christ isn't glorified. They're no longer walking. And I think it's so important that what we do is this, two things. Pray to God that he and he alone is glorified, and that we step back and we do what we do in a way that only the Father is glorified in this. We intercede. We disciple those who we've been able to share with. And it's so important that as we come to this area, this is why I love what Paul is saying. He says, I went and I spoke. This is the gospel. And we can't add to this gospel. We can't take away from this gospel. And the leadership said, yes, that is the gospel. It is about Jesus Christ and his work alone. And there's nothing we can do to add to that. There's things that we will do because of it. But it isn't about going into the law. It isn't about, you know, fulfilling the law before we're saved. It's we're saved. It has nothing to do with the law anymore. The law simply what was this taskmaster, the schoolmaster that drove us to Jesus Christ. And then when we're in him, what? Now we're saved. And I think it's so important to look to this heart, and it's so important to look to this word, because here we see, he says, I don't want to have run in vain. I don't want there to be a time when someone falls away from their faith and then Jesus Christ cannot be glorified, that he cannot be exalted. And to, you know, keep in mind it was a pseudo faith as it was, but it's so important to realize that I want them that God has put in my path. I want to encourage them to grow and encourage them to grow. I love the fact that what do we do with our children? We never stop being parents. You never stop encouraging them to walk with the Lord. You never stop those things. And then, of course, now you start adding grandchildren. You do the same thing to them. You encourage them in their faith. You encourage them in their walk. You encourage them to walk in those areas of obedience. And so we begin to see here that it's just such a beautiful thing. I'm going to have an opportunity in just a couple of weeks to baptize my granddaughter. I can't wait for that day. Baptized, you know, her mom, baptized her dad, and you know, I want to be able to see her take this step of faith, to take this step to say, I want you to walk and run this race. Run this race in victory. And that you know, she can look to my life, she can look to, you know, her nana's life, she can look to, you know, her mom's life, she can look to these lives of these Christians, and she can say, I want to be like that. I want to run, and I want to run in a way that Jesus is glorified, and that I can now let my life be a witness to others. And so it's just such a joy, and I love the fact that he says, I don't want there to be any that slip through the cracks. And isn't that our desire? That all should come to repentance. All should come into a place of looking to the Lord. So may that be our heart as well, that keep in mind that you want to run a race, but not in vain. Two areas of being in vain, Paul talks about it first, where the fruit falls away. The fruit is beginning, but there's no real depth. The world is choking it out. But then it's, I don't want to be disqualified either. Now, Paul's not talking about disqualification, but in other parts of his epistles, he's talking about don't be disqualified. And that's where Hebrews says, man, lay the things aside that would cause you to what? Stumble and fall out of the race. Lay those things aside. Look forward to the prize. Look forward to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for this word, so grateful for your heart. You are so, so good. We do ask, Lord, that as we come into this place that we would be those who, Lord, commit our lives to running this race, to running a race that Lord, that you and you alone are glorified, that others would come alongside and we would see their fruit and we would be able to rejoice in their fruit, knowing that Jesus, once again, you are glorified. We can't wait to continue to run this race, laying things aside that are going to hinder us and knowing, Lord, that your grace will walk us through. And we look to you. We look to you as our prize, your glory as our prize. So teach us to run. Warn us of the things that would cause us to be disqualified or to run in vain. And to encourage us, Lord, help us to find joy in pouring out our lives as Paul did, pouring out our lives to those that would come to the faith, because it's so important. Because what? That is the race. The race isn't about us. It's about pouring out everything we are that they would come. We're now yours, and now we want others to come. We want to put in that energies that they would. Father, do the work in us and through us. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all the saints of God said, amen. Amen.